All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
We've been waiting for a long time. Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time. But we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4.
We just got to come up with a new opening. I just can't do this. I can't do this is.
This is?
I can't do it.
For the rest of our
70 episodes. 70 episodes. And now we're going on to 71. I got to turn over a new leaf.
I think we've turned it over officially. We've started the show differently.
I think we're just going to start off with, hey, there. I moved away from the bad snacks.
That's good.
I'm having a protein shake.
He's moved on
to
like
an
air
shake from where I'm sitting.
Look how much air is in that. The thing's about to float away.
I'm drinking from the bottom.
How long was that in the blender for?
Like 3 minutes.
No, seriously, doesn't that look like it's about an inch of like a chocolate milk type substance and then about 5 inches of foam?
Yeah, it's a type substance that's kind of bothering me. It's not quite chocolate milk, is it?
We should welcome Mr. Fantastic back into the studio after being gone for a week.
So our understanding, Fantastic, is that you were walking the earth.
Well, I had a week-long surgery, and my entire skeleton is now laced with adamantium.
Nice.
Really?
How's that working out for you?
So now he's pretty and unbreakable.
It's a little itchy.
We actually mused that you were deciding whether or not to actually start to play Star Wars Galaxies as opposed to my journey to decide whether I should go back and play Star Wars Galaxies.
If I had to decide whether or not to play a game, I think I'd just say, do I want to play World of Warcraft or not?
Ooh.
I just know too many people that to not play or to go play another game would just be like I'm going playing by myself. And I'm not interested in making new friends.
See?
Yeah, I know. You're rough on new friends. I remember when you were 12 and we became friends. It was difficult.
Rough times, Kev.
It was rough.
That was kind of like when Fantastic we first became friends.
Fantastic was very he's very picky and choosy about who he lets in his inner circle.
And we could see that's obviously changed.
But speaking of World of Warcraft, let's get right into the news if we can. And I'm going to jump ahead of the format. To our DVD release section.
Are we skipping the naming of the episode again?
We are. We'll get to it later on. So, DVDs released this week, South Park, the complete 10th season, speaking of World of Warcraft, features, of course, two really fantastic episodes and a whole bunch of other great episodes. One would be The Return of Chef, which was the end of Isaac Hayes' character, Chef, on the show.
Right.
And the other one was Make Love, Not Warcraft.
Excellent.
And what's unique about this three-disc DVD set, the complete 10th season...
That's all it is three discs?
All it is three discs.
Wow, that seems pretty light.
It's 14 episodes.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it comes with a trial edition of World of Warcraft. A disc packaged right inside the box set here.
I'd like to just say, what doesn't come with a trial disc of World of Warcraft these days? I think I've seen it given away with next to everything. I think if you go to the New York Renaissance Fair website right now, you can click on a link that will give you a free trial disc to the World of Warcraft. So That doesn't surprise me.
And I'm still not playing.
Good for you.
I don't care what they say. Over 7 million people online now, fantastic, playing World of Warcraft.
None of them are my friends.
And that's a good thing.
Exactly.
I keep it that way.
Excellent.
So that's the complete 10th season of South Park. Check that out. While we're at it, a couple other notable releases.
Sure.
House Season 3.
And although not entirely geek-related, definitely a good television show worth checking out.
It is. It's not geek-related, you don't think?
No, not so much.
There's some science fiction in this show. Like this guy would keep his job. That's complete fiction.
Actually, the fiction is his accent, apparently.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
There's the science fiction for you.
Of course, another fantastic TV show released on DVD, Dexter, Season 1 from Showtime.
I'll be sure to add that to my Blockbuster queue since I don't have the Showtime.
Is that right? You have the Blockbuster...
The online? I do, and I love it.
I see. Dexter, the complete first season from Showtime, about a serial killer played by Michael C. Hall.
Right.
Who is actually a police crime scene investigator. He's actually a blood spatter specialist.
And you might know that fine gentleman, by the way, from 6 Feet Under.
Yes.
From HBO's 6 Feet Under.
He was the gay brother.
He was the gay brother.
And he's in this new show on Showtime. It's fantastic. Pick up the complete first season.
And as we learned in San Diego, I love Dexter, I think was
the mantra.
The mantra out there. I heart Dexter.
Finally, on our DVD releases this week. Da-da-da!
Very exciting.
Serenity, the Collector's Edition.
That's right.
It's got a unique sort of flip open...
Right.
Do all the versions have this?
They do.
Kind of a plastic cover. What would you call that? Like a see-through.
Yeah.
It's layered.
It's layered. There you go.
In my house, I call those windows.
There you go. Window.
Window. That's good. I should coin that phrase.
I'd also like to say that on the cover of this version of Serenity, River also looks much more like, well, River, and less feline. The other edition of Serenity, she kind of looked a little cat-like and way too glam to be Summer Glau.
Great set, 2-disc set, full of an hour of new extras.
Right. Including the River Tam sessions.
Including the River Tam sessions. If you buy it at Best Buy,
right,
you get a little Dark Horse comic book with it. Those Left Behind Part 1. And go ahead now and be upset about it, Matt.
Is this where I get to bitch and moan?
Yes, this would be the time.
All right. I'm not upset at the fact that it's not new, because I honestly didn't expect something new. I kind of figured that when I heard it was going to be packaged with a comic book, it was going to be the Those Left Behind storyline. Makes sense. What I am pissed about, what I am going to bitch about, is that why would they only put the first issue in there? And I say this because when we got Hellboy Blood and Iron, for example,
right,
one of the retailer exclusives that it came with, was the full first graphic novel in digest format. This Those Left Behind issue 1 is similar. It is in a digest format, a smaller printed format.
Right.
It's only 3 issues, none of which were excessively long. Why not at least give us the entire storyline? Because it's not like issue 2 and 3 of the storyline are available in that format. It's not like you can even get the individual issues of that storyline any longer without seeking them out online or at a convention, perhaps. The only way you can really get it at this point is collected, for the most part, from a major retailer, I mean. Why not give us the whole thing if you're going to give it to us? It seems kind of plastic pewter dragon to me.
Yeah, a good example. Good example. Well, it's out, of course. For those of you that don't know, Serenity is based on the TV show
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Right, and there's the creator of Firefly.
There, I'm not getting upset this week. You got me last week. This
what?
Week, you get nothing.
Upset about what?
Exactly.
Wasn't there something else we were supposed to say about that?
There is, actually. By the time you actually listen to this episode, if you haven't noticed already, up on our website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
There will be some information about a little contest giveaway that we're going to be doing with Serenity 2 Disc. We will have a series of trivia questions up on the website. We're going to ask that you look them over, answer them, and shoot us an email with the answers at BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com. Everybody who gets the entire series of questions correct, out of those people, we will then pick someone at random and give them, we'll be giving away one of these two disc sets.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Well, we love our listeners and, you know, Serenity.
We do?
So, well, that's the rumor. That's what we're trying to convince them, is that we love them. We're finally giving them something other than this crap show after a year and a half.
And my understanding is that... that there will be 71 questions to commemorate the 71st issue of this this show.
Are you writing all 71 questions? Because I know I'm not.
Yeah, that's just what Fantastic told me that. I don't know.
Is he writing all 71 questions? I hope so.
I don't think he could come up with 71 questions.
If it's multiple choice, I'll come up with 75 answers, 71 answers.
Okay. Well,
I don't think he could come up with seven questions about
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand.
Hey, this is Jewel State from Firefly, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
All right, there's two. I'm not giving you a third one.
Jewel State.
I'm moving on with the news.
Okay,
I'm moving on with the news.
Fine, go on.
So don't forget, you can check out the contest and how to submit to the contest on the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. But moving on with the news. Some Hulk news, some Hulk-related news. Aside from the fact that, in case you haven't heard, Lou Ferrigno will be making a cameo in the new Marvel Hulk film.
No.
I swear. I wonder if
Stan Lee not available?
I was going to say, I wonder if he's doing it instead of Stan Lee, perhaps. But not really, that's not news, and I don't really care that much. Really, what's kind of interesting is that Ed Norton, who you may or may not know at this point.
Right, from the Honeymooners.
No.
No. What?
He who will be playing the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, Edward Norton.
Edward Norton. Is actually working on the script for the film as well. He's going to have, I believe, co-writing credits on the film. Now, as to what capacity that actually will extend or what his Hulk knowledge is outside of the realm of this film, I'm not entirely sure.
Guess we're going to find out.
But I don't know if that's good news or bad news.
It's news.
It is news, that's for sure.
Coming out this week or last week, depending on when you listen to the show.
Right.
Mouse Guard. Winter 1152 issue 1,
right,
has arrived from our pal David Peterson.
Aww.
And Archaia Studios Press.
It's true.
Issue 1 of 6, $350 price tag. You can go to www.aspcomics.com to check out all the fine products from Archaia Studios Press. And if we haven't yet convinced you that you should be reading Mouse Guard, let us take a moment to try and convince you again that you should be reading Mouse Guard.
All right.
The fall 1152, all six issues came out. They were successful. They were combined into a beautiful hardcover edition.
Beautiful.
We had David Peterson on this show.
We did.
And now series two is out, Winter 1152.
It is.
And you should check it out.
You should.
Good read. Did you get a chance to flip through this?
I did. I actually gave it a good read and, you know, lives up, picks up the story. Very nice.
It's jazzy, isn't it?
Look forward to finishing it out and then getting that second fantastic hardcover because that's what I buy, the hardcover collectors.
I know that you do.
I know that I do also.
You know what came out today? I was thinking of you.
What?
Green Arrow.
Year one. Year one number, issue four?
Issue four.
Excellent. I'll have to run to my nearest store or actually give Retailer X a call. And if he's not too busy in the bathhouses, Maybe he could ship one out to me.
Maybe he could.
Maybe he could.
It's a nice cover, though. I'm looking forward to reading the trade of that book.
See, there you go.
Because I got in late. I also wanted to mention a series that issue 2 came out today. It's Annihilation Conquest. It's a Marvel book, so sit still. It's Annihilation Conquest Star-Lord.
Okay.
They have this whole thing going on now with all their sort of space characters, this destruction of the Kree homeworld, and da da da. There's this big, massive crossover Marvel space characters thing going on, which I thankfully have been able to completely and utterly ignore until now.
Why?
Because Star-Lord's little ragtag group on their suicide mission to save or kill somebody
must involve someone you'd like.
Well, amongst the characters in the ragtag group are Groot. Do you remember him?
No.
He's kind of that tree-looking guy, Marvel guy. Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
See? And Bug from the Micronauts.
Jesus Christ.
So I immediately said, get me Retailer X on the phone to Pablo, Paco, whoever is in the basement these days. And I said, me Retailer X.
Right.
I got to have issue 1.
You do have to have issue 1.
Because issue 2 is out.
So did you get an issue 1?
No.
Are you going to have a hard time finding an issue?
I don't know. I'm hoping they're going to. It's only 4 issues, so I'm hoping they're going to trade it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll get it for sure. But I am looking for an issue 1. So listeners, if you have an issue 1, Annihilation Conquest, Star-Lord, I'm looking for that.
We do accept donations here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's true. We should really put up that donation thing so that we can get one of those Attackus Millennium Falcons in here.
Well, we have
Atticus.
Have a PayPal donation button on the website.
We do?
Not that anybody's ever bothered to use it, but it's there. It exists.
Do we really have one of those? Fantastic.
Yeah. Can I mention a ragtag group of people before you move on to your next storyline?
Sure.
I'd like to do my next storyline.
Storyline?
Yeah, storyline.
What is
news
this?
News story.
What is this, a show?
It is a show. Is it a show? I don't know.
A show?
Let's talk about the ever-developing cast of the Spirit movie. The next Frank Miller, Will Eisner project.
I just don't want to hear that The Rock is in it.
No, The Rock has not been cast in it.
Thank
Who has been cast in it, adding to Sam Jackson and Gabriel Macht, is it pronounced, I believe? Would be Eva Mendes and Scarlett Johansson.
Johansson?
Yes.
Not Johansson.
No,
Johansson.
I pronounce it Johansson. I can.
I sometimes say Johansson.
Well, no one asked you, Ian Griffin.
It doesn't matter how you pronounce it. She's hot.
Exactly. And Will Eisner, in the Spirit book, he was known for kind of having curvy, attractive female characters in the book. So Ava Mendez and
Ava
Scarlett
Mendes?
Johansson. Oh, she's
hot.
She's
nice.
She's attractive.
That's very interesting. But who's playing the Spirit?
I don't know.
It's the only casting anybody wants to know, and nobody knows.
Actually, isn't it... Isn't Gabriel that who's playing the Spirit?
Is that who's playing the Spirit?
I think so, yeah. I could be wrong, but...
I might have to put a call into the producer of that film.
I'd like to put a call into Fantastic to maybe get his fingers moving on that computer over there and find out who's playing the Spirit.
Oh, he's way busy. He's thumbing through the latest issue of Toy Fair and their fabulous list of 100... was it the 100 best toys of all time?
We'll get to that later.
Do we really? Can we nip it in the bud right now?
Can we just glance over it, maybe?
Yeah,
no mini mate should be on there, maybe? I don't know.
I just don't. There are no criteria whatsoever. It's kind of like, hey, what toy do you like? Oh, you. What's your name? You. Yeah, you clean toilets up in this wizard office, right? Yeah.
Pit? Okay, Pit.
You ever like a toy that came out after 97? What is it? Trapjaw. Hey, Trapjaw's cool. All right, let's make him number 4. What is the...
I don't know.
The criteria is
we'll
silly.
Get there. In the meantime, Fantastic, could you look that up for me, please? Who will be playing the Spirit in the upcoming Frank Miller Spirit movie?
And while Fantastic does that, I will say also coming out is volume number 8 of The Complete Peanuts.
God.
1965 to 1966.
I think the only thing that stopped me from jumping onto those at this point is that I hope that when they're all done... You know, and I'm like 60.
What, they collect them into one book? It's like 12 feet high?
I hope so. Into some ginormous collection.
There's no way.
Why not?
Because they ran until 98.
Exactly.
Or whatever, 2006, whatever it was.
It'll be impressive. Your library is just going to be those at some point.
No.
It's just going to be Peanuts books.
I don't think so. There's going to be, they said it's going to take like a bunch of years, obviously, to put them out, but... Look, it's a beautiful volume, got Charlie Brown on the cover. It is the definitive collection of Charles M. Schulz's comic strip masterpiece, and it includes all the dailies and Sundays in order from 1965 to 1966, and it's done impressively by Fantagraphic Books. It's about 28 bucks.
Yeah, that's about right.
29 bucks, 30 bucks.
It's an expensive collection, that's for sure.
It's beautiful. It's hardcover. It's a beautiful collection.
Very shiny.
That's worth every penny, I think.
Fantastic. Do you have an answer for us?
Yeah, it's Gabriel Mach.
See, I told you.
Mach.
Mach.
I told you.
What else has he done? And while Fantastic looks at what else he's done, I will tell you, speaking of...
what else have you done? Research for the show tonight?
I did.
Excellent.
Rob Liefeld.
Has he done anything?
Yes.
Oh, nothing I care about. That's right.
Well, and that nothing that you care about, uh-huh. Youngblood, that's coming back.
See, again, still don't care.
He's. It looks like they're going to collect, fix up, clean up some way that old Youngblood series from Image.
Right.
That's what, 15 years old
at
now?
At least.
The first book to come out from Image, by the way.
Was it the first?
Yep, the first.
Okay.
The first book to ever bear the Image imprint.
Wow.
They're going to clean it up. I guess they're going to put it together, some kind of book, which, of course, will lead into the 2008 series.
Of Youngblood.
Of Youngblood.
So we have One Trick. We have Dead Horse. What are we going to nickname Liefeld?
Buttonfly.
Buttonfly?
Yep, because that's when you knew it had gone too damn far.
Okay.
When you saw Rob Liefeld... doing a Buttonfly jeans commercial for Spike Lee. That you knew it was over right there.
Mas terrible.
Unbelievable.
All right. Why don't we talk about the useless website of the week? How about the Watchmen movie website? Now, maybe it's only useless to me, and the four computers that I've tried to use it on are just defunct and silly. But the website is watchmenmovie.warnerbrothers.com.
Okay.
And they've created the site. It's supposed to be, you know, hailing the new movie, and it's supposed to be the number one place to go for all of your Watchmen movie news. Yet for some reason, when I go to the site, all that I could get to pop up is that godforsaken smiley face with the bullet wound, and I think it says Watchmen, and that's it. Nothing else. Doesn't click back to anywhere else. It doesn't link to anywhere else. I mean, God, we know the cast is mostly done. At least, I don't know, bounce to a Watchmen poster or a bounce to a cast list or something.
You know, when you said that you were having problems with the website,
uh-huh.
Fantastic sprang into action.
Immediately.
So he's on there right now. Fantastic, do you have an update on this? Is Matt just retarded and can't operate the website? Or
no, there is some functionality to the website. Granted, Matt, it is very limited.
Okay.
I go there, I get a black background with a date of 03-06-09.
Okay, and you get the smiley face.
And I get a giant
face.
Smiley comedian face.
Right.
And I click on it. And then the face gets about 10 times smaller.
Okay, yeah.
And that's it.
And that's it. Okay, good. So, yes, I actually did click on it and it got smaller. But, so there's, I don't understand.
Perhaps it's doing not, to you?
Perhaps it's not ready yet.
No, then why
that
put it up?
That is ready. That is powerful. See what he's doing? It's driving him crazy.
Well, I'm itching. It's making me nutty.
It's doing its job.
I guess so. Bastards at Warner Brothers. I hate them all.
Yes. What is Joe Quesada up to with Straczynski?
Destroying Marvel?
I don't know. Apparently, he's prepared to destroy something with Spider-Man.
Well, that makes sense. Straczynski, a longtime Spider-Man writer at this point. Marvel, or Quesada, a longtime Marvel destroyer at this point.
The Straczynski-Quesada One More Day Spider-Man story arc will begin in Amazing 544.
Okay.
Continues through the family of books. And the only thing that they'll say about it is it's the end of an era.
This is where they're actually going to make the announcement that Spider-Man, a.k.a. Peter Parker, was never actually a human. He actually is a fully mutated spider.
I don't think that's it.
Damn.
I think they're going to kill Mary Jane.
Really?
That's what I think.
Well, after the controversy over that statue, really, there's only one place left to go. Kill her.
What's the controversy?
The
one where she's bending over one?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? She's washing the suit.
No, see, I don't think she is washing the suit. I think she's finding the suit. We won't get into this. It's a whole big bit to do. The feminists will get very upset at us. We should leave it alone.
For what?
Exactly. What else do you have? Anything fun and exciting or no?
No, I got nothing.
How about Marvel is developing a Doctor Strange movie? Which is really, I don't know why this is a surprise to anybody.
Slow down. I bought that movie last week.
Was it as good as Iron Man?
I refuse to watch it without you.
Excellent.
If I have to suffer through it, so the hell do you.
Okay, so the reason I say that this should be no surprise to anybody is that Marvel has kind of had some sort of track record now of doing these animated movies and then developing into something further, kind of using them as maybe a testing ground or a launching off point. So less than a week after the animated movie hits store shelves, they make an announcement that they're fully developing a live action film. That's not that surprising.
No, but I heard that we're due for more of those animated.
Are we? Well, there's a third Avengers one I know that's coming out, and it's actually not Ultimate Avengers. It's the new Avengers, and it's supposed to be some Avengers kids type of animated.
Oh, good.
Thing.
Wait, it's not like Young Avengers, is it?
No, I hope not.
We're going to revisit that pain, are
exactly.
we?
Exactly. I hope not.
I do have something else.
Well, Chris Angel, I don't think is going to be available for the Doctor Strange movie.
Thank
He's
God.
Doing that other Doctor mystical
Shivago?
Comic book. Dr. No, Shivago? No, that other mystical comic book character movie. We talked about it like 20 episodes ago. I don't even remember what it was called.
I don't either.
And it's not going to be Doctor Strange. That's all you need to know.
Doctor Midnight? No.
No.
I don't know. P. Craig Russell is working on a couple of Neil Gaiman products.
Okay.
Projects, rather, that are coming out.
I was
going
to say, what kind of products are
we
expecting?
Well, you'll be excited. He is doing a graphic novel adaptation of Coraline.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Was Coraline... Coraline was not illustrated at all?
No.
Just chapter images, maybe?
Maybe, but I don't even think they had chapter images, did they?
Well, that's good. I think Coraline deserves that, although I find it interesting considering they're developing the stop motion animation project. Why would they do a graphic novel at the same time? It seems, I don't know.
He's also, P. Craig Russell, also doing working on, in some way, involved with a graphic novel version of Sandman the Dream Hunters, which is, so far, has only been released as a novella that was illustrated by Yoshitaka Amano.
Right. Okay. That was the little manga series they did, right?
No. Just the novella. And he had some illustrations.
Okay.
Now they're going back and saying, we're going to illustrate the entire story.
Okay. Well, how about after a long, long wait and after us talking about it about a billion times on this show, October 23rd of this year, Volume 1, 12-disc set, although that kind of confuses me, and I'm not sure if that detail's right or not. The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles on DVD.
Stop it.
How many episodes of that show were there?
A lot.
Really?
There were a lot.
How many seasons did it last?
I want to say it was two and maybe, I'll say two, possibly three. Fantastic.
But
could you do something about finding an answer to that question?
Okay,
I think it was two, two and a half, or three.
So if it was three even, let's say.
Yeah.
That's what, 66, I don't know, maybe between 50 and 60 episodes, probably.
Depends
somewhere in
there.
Depends
if it was a full line of episodes each time.
But
could have been 14 out of the box and then 22, 22.
But the press release that I read said volume one, which I found interesting because that would allude that it's not the entire series, that they're going to do a volume two probably and maybe three to wrap up the entire thing. And it said 12 discs. Doesn't that seem a bit high and excessive? I mean, a regular TV series is
so
like six maybe.
There's a probable error in this release.
Okay.
And it's either that it's 12 episodes.
Okay.
Or that it's not volume one, but it's the complete series.
Complete series.
12 discs would still be a lot for...
Well,
that
if,
many.
Well,
so somewhere
figure,
in there, something isn't right.
If you figure a regular 22 to 24 episode television series is generally released in anywhere between four and six discs in a box set, then 12 discs could be appropriate for three seasons in one single set. It would be a little excessive.
It would be a lot,
but
especially in this day.
There'd
and
have
age.
To be a lot of special features. But Spielberg and Lucas, not entirely out of the realm of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Don't know. Fantastic. What do you got?
We have season one being 6 episodes.
Okay.
Season two being 22 episodes.
Okay, so that's 28.
And then season three, according to IMDb, and I'd have to look into this more, it shows 2 episodes with no release date for the second one. So I'm thinking maybe this list is incomplete or it just ended there and they never finished that season.
Okay.
So let's say it's 30 episodes that they're going to stick on this disc.
Would that be like 3 episodes a disc? I mean, I guess that's possible, but it seems a bit wasteful to me.
Something's wrong there.
Yeah, I think it's either not volume one, or the disc count is incorrect.
I think we need to contact whoever's producing that and get the true story,
the true Hollywood story.
I think so. The Big Kev's Geek Stuff true Hollywood story. What is the goddamn story with the Young Indiana Jones DVD?
Do you have something else fantastic?
Yeah, Wikipedia lists 44 episodes.
Okay.
But it doesn't break them down into season. It puts them in, it's not even chronological order. I don't know what order this is, but they're definitely numbered. There's 44 of them here.
Okay, well, that would still be between 3 and 4 episodes a disc, which is possible. But again, it would have to be not be volume one. It would have to just be a full set.
One part of that release is wrong.
Is wrong.
I don't know which part, though.
All right. One more quick casting news bit cameo thing. Next season of Heroes, yet another Star Trek alum will be making a role, I guess, on the show, making an appearance on the show.
Wait, I want to guess who it is.
Okay, go.
Let's see. Star Trek alum. No, he's dead.
It's not a he.
It's a woman?
Yeah, so that narrows it down immediately.
Okay. Majel Barrett Roddenberry.
Who's that?
She was Nurse Chapel and also Gene Roddenberry's wife.
No, that's not who
okay.
it is.
Okay, let me think. Grace, what the hell was her name?
I don't know the actress's actual name. I just know that it's
Uhura?
Yeah, her.
Nichelle Nichols?
Yes.
You don't know how to say Uhura?
Exactly.
Give me your geek card.
No, I'm not a Star Trek fan. Give me it. I've never been one, and I'm proud of it, damn it.
You are watching Star Trek.
She will be making a cameo on next season of Heroes as Micah's grandmother.
Ah.
So I don't know how significant her role will be, whether it will be as significant as George Takei's role in the first season, but I don't know. I still think it's interesting that they're going back to the Star Trek alum for their casting choices. So.
It is interesting.
Well, that's it.
You know, recently I got a picture with the big two.
Did you?
Nimoy and the Shat.
I'm impressed by Shatner. Because, you know, I like Priceline. They have great offers on travel deals.
Uh-huh.
Can we take a break now?
Yeah, sure.
Hey. This is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes Store by searching for Geek Stuff under Podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hello?
Eric Dyson.
This is he.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff. How are you, sir?
Big Kev. Doing well, and yourself?
Good. Eric is the president of Fishermen Incorporated.
Yes.
And Eric, you're speaking tonight with myself, Big Kev, my co-host, OG.
Hello, sir.
What's happening, OG?
And our religious correspondent, Brother Billy.
Brother Billy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And Eric, we're calling tonight to talk about your product, which I guess, are we calling it I Am Fisherman or?
Well, they are, it's Fisherman's line of I Am Jesus Inspired Collectibles. That's a mouthful, right?
Right, Jesus Inspired Collectibles. So,
correct.
The first thing I guess that we should ask is, well, we should say that these are, there are several, we have, nine of them here in the studio.
Okay.
That we're looking at tonight. We think they're great. And
thank
but
you.
Before we get further into it, I guess the first thing we need to clear up is what do we call these? Are these aren't action figures, obviously, because they're kind of inspirational statuary. Do we call them giftware?
And, you know, it's funny you've asked that because it's been difficult to classify them because traditionally you want to classify them based on what's already out there. And these are not action figures because they are not posable. They're not really designed to be toys. We just refer to them as inspiring collectibles.
Okay, fair enough.
And allow the, you know, an individual to kind of use their own understanding about what that means for them. Again, they're not action figures. They're more of figures in action. They're not... Even though I would like to say, and I've been very blessed and fortunate that people have referred to them as inspiring pieces of art, I'm not necessarily willing to go that far. But they are, you know, without a doubt, inspiring collectibles. That's what we like to refer to them as.
We want to direct our listeners to point their internet browsers to wearefishermen.com so
yes,
that
please.
They can look along with us. To see the pieces, we're also going to have pictures of them up on our website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, as well as if you're listening to the show tonight on your iPod or you're listening using QuickTime, you should be seeing the images of Mr. Dyson's fine product as we're talking about it here. So let's kind of give the rundown here.
Okay.
They're, 6-7 inch scale, if you will.
Correct.
Sculptures of Jesus, and Jesus is doing various activities, if you will.
Correct.
And
correct.
For example, there's Jesus is riding a bull.
Mm-hmm. I am strength.
And I am, that one's called I am strength. Jesus is surfing.
I am spirit.
Yes. Jesus playing soccer.
I am victory.
Jesus rock climbing.
I am life.
Right, and then there's a few more. We'll go to through them. Obviously, we'll go through them as we go along. And
okay.
So Eric, I guess I want to turn it over a little bit to Brother Billy here,
okay.
So that we can talk about the inspiration for these, and so on and so forth. Brother Billy, what was the question you wanted to ask Eric about these?
Well, how you doing, Eric?
Good.
Good. There's a couple things that's going through my mind. I guess my first question is what sort of gave you the idea to do this? Where did you sort of come up with this? Like, why this particular line of collectibles for you?
Well, you know, it's funny, and that's generally the first question that people ask is, you know, where did these come from? And you have to understand that I was not someone that was a very religious person. I grew up in a household that taught me strong Christian values, but it wasn't a household where I was always directed to go to and attend church on a very regular basis. As I got older, you know, I lived in a large city where spirituality or faith or religion was not something that was really a fabric of our culture. So as I got older, I drifted away from anything that was religious or spiritually based. What really kind of turned me around in this was the passing of my father. My father passed in February of 2005. At the time, I was working for a Fortune 500 company. I married, two kids, mortgage, cars. I was climbing the corporate ladder. I was trying to better myself financially, but I really wasn't interested in my own spiritual development or my own spiritual growth.
Right.
His passing was a shock to me because I relied on him for guidance, for wisdom. He was a great man, a well-learned man, an inspiring individual, and his passing, I felt there was a huge emptiness in my life, so to speak. But upon his passing, I actually, you know, after we laid his mortal remains to rest, one of my best and closest friends invited me to do some traveling and travel abroad, and I ended up in Asia. I ended up in Hong Kong right around April of 2005. And I happened to turn on my TV, and I saw the Pope pass. Now, I did not grow up as a Catholic, but I was touched. I was affected by his passing and seeing the world's Catholics grieve, which brought back my grief tenfold. And I remember being in a hotel room in Hong Kong and falling on my knees and crying and just asking God, why? Why are you taking away our guides? Why are you taking away those individuals that provide direction and wisdom to us? Almost immediately, I felt comforted by a voice that came from everywhere and nowhere that simply said, I am always with you. And with that voice, I had this image of Jesus riding a Harley across America. Now, you must understand, again, I was not going to church. If I would be referred to as a Christer, meaning that if I went to the church, it was Christmas
or
and Easter.
Easter. Right, yeah.
and that was it. So when I had this experience, even though I felt better, I didn't really know what to do with it, okay? I actually didn't share it or talk about it with anyone for about 90 days. Finally, at this time I returned to the States and I was, you know, back in the swing of things, living in Los Angeles, and my mother-in-law, my mother-in-love as I refer to her, she looked at me and she said, you know, Eric, there's something on you. There's something on your heart or on your mind that you're not sharing. And what is it? She ministered to me. And I told her about my experience in Hong Kong. And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. I don't even know if I should do anything with this. I mean, I was like, no, I didn't feel like I was worthy to do anything with the image that God planted in my head.
And how did that lead to you making these figures?
You know, she basically prompted me to receive the blessing that God had given me, that vision, and figure out what you want to do with it. So the first thing I did was, because I don't draw well, and I don't sculpt, and I don't paint, I have a friend of mine who was a sketch artist, and I kind of gave him an idea about what I was seeing in that vision, what I saw in my brain, and asked him to start to kind of sketch it out. Almost the next day, if it was not the next day, it was within 48 hours, I got a call from my corporate headquarters, which was in Florida. Eric, letting you know we are consolidating some things, and we're moving your division to Florida. Get packed up, start looking for a place to live, because if you want to continue to work with us, you're going to have to move to Florida. I knew it was God placing me at a crossroads. Do I continue to live the life that I had lived, which was, listen, I was in sales, so lying and cheating and backstabbing and cutting corners was part and parcel with how I lived my life and how I handled my business. Or do I want to pursue something that I felt was given to me through a divine vision and really just see where it takes me?
Right.
I decided to follow that vision. Now, you got to understand, I knew nothing about toys. I knew nothing about figurines. I just went with what was on my heart.
Right.
October 2005, we started the company Fisherman. By January 2007, which was a little bit over a year and 4 months later, we had designed, created, and produced a full line of the collectibles that you're looking at right now.
Right, that we have here in the studio.
That you have in the studio. And you have to understand, I mean, I worked with a number of great professionals. I can't help but feel like it was God in my life, because whenever I needed someone or something to move the project forward, I would bump into somebody in the elevator. I'd bump into someone at the grocery store. I'd bump into someone that knew a friend that happened to be in town, and they were a website designer, and they had some ideas. Everything I could have possibly needed or asked for was provided for me. That's the only way that I was able to create everything you see here in such a short amount of time. They were stunned to see how much I had done in a little over a year.
So let's talk about the let's talk about the pieces here. What are
sure.
What is the message with some of these pieces? I think, Billy, is that right?
Yeah, you had kind of said that, and on your little tagline is your goal is to provide inspiration and thought-provoking questions. And I guess,
of course,
how do you feel that these collectibles will do that? I guess is kind of like, especially without it being taken as maybe an insult. I mean, not that I personally feel that way, but some people might even see these as belittling. Like, how do you sort of, I guess, communicate what your message is without being offensive, I guess, to use that word?
No, I totally understand. And to be honest with you, when I started, my initial thought was to include as much information about what we're doing as possible. For one reason or another, I decided to just let the figurines kind of speak for themselves and see how people were able to interpret what we were trying to convey. Some were able to get it right off the bat. Others weren't. What we were trying to convey is that God is with you always in everything you do and in all walks of life. The question is whether or not we are open enough, comfortable enough, confident enough to see God in our life, even in places that we would never expect him. So that's why we have everything ranging from Jesus on a Harley to Jesus as a homeless person.
Right.
The message is you must understand and be able to accept that God is always with you, and that's where I think the inspiration comes from. You should never feel like you're disconnected from him. You should never feel like he is unavailable. You should never feel like that you're not worthy for his guidance, for his love, for his comforting. And I've had individuals come up to me and share with me that they thought that I was offensive, or they thought it was blasphemous, or they thought it was sacrilegious. And I usually ask them really, really simply, why?
Right.
And so, it's funny, but they'll say that, but without really thinking about exactly why they feel offended by it. I've had people say, well, you know, you made Jesus human. I'm like, well, he was human. That's the blessing about his coming. That's the blessing about his story, because he was like us and showed us about all the wonderful things we could do if we aligned ourselves with God's word, if we allowed ourselves to be filled with his spirit. I've had individuals say, well, you know, those don't line up with the images that I grew up with. And I ask them, well, when does our faith stop growing? I mean, there's contemporary Christian music now that sounds like hip-hop, sounds like rock and roll, sounds like alternative music that is faith-inspired. Are you telling me that those are not adequate or accepted forms of expression of our faith? It really, when you come down to it, it's just a question of whether or not you can align yourself with the idea that God is always with you.
So then in a sense then, the figures and the poses or the situations that you put them in are more along the lines of situations or poses that you will find contemporary people in.
Correct.
As opposed to just putting Jesus in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The core idea that the figures should be metaphors for you. I mean, think about it. You have Jesus climbing a mountain, and the title of that figurine is I Am Life. Is there a better description of life than climbing that mountain with no strings, no net? I mean, life is an experience that can be challenging and exhilarating, but it's all on you. I mean, it's up to you to find the strength to carry on, to understand that if there are slips and setbacks, you can still achieve whatever you want. Or you look at something like I Am Spirit, and you see him riding the wave, and you know, I know a number of my friends, which are surfers, are involved in water sports. They connect with it.
That's my favorite one, by the way.
Is it really? Yeah. The idea, and if you look at the figurines, let me back up for a second. If you look at the figurines, what you'll notice is that, you know, in what we tried to convey is the combination, the duality of what Jesus stood for, because he was both God and man here on earth. And that's why you see him in the clothes or the outfits of modern man, but he also has around him his robe and his crown of thorns as...
Right, which is something I wanted to point out about the design, is that there are a few design elements that are constant throughout. The kind of long white robe kind
Correct.
Of garment that you kind of associate Jesus to be in. Obviously,
Correct.
The long hair, the beard, kind of the classical accepted image of Jesus' head, and of course
Correct.
the crown of thorns on top of his head. And then from there, everything else kind of is more appropriate for whatever the action is or the situation is. Like the bull rider has on a plaid shirt and chaps and riding boots and gloves. The surfer mm-hmm. is wearing shorts, t-shirt, no shoes. There is a constant... constant design elements throughout, which yes. I really appreciated.
Well, thank you. And I'd love to say that it was easy coming up with those design elements. it was challenging, because when you're talking about something that is as sacred as the image of Jesus, you have to, we felt that if we left him in the images and the design elements that he was traditionally associated with, and you threw him on a Harley, the message would be different. We felt that you wouldn't feel a stronger sense of connection, which is what the figurines are designed to inspire, which is that connection with your faith, that connection with your higher self, that connection with your God.
I want to pitch that out to Brother Billy, who's here with us. Bill, do you think that what Eric is saying about the message and what we said about the design elements, how do you respond to that as somebody who is knowledgeable in Christian products? How do you feel that these come across based on what Eric is saying?
At first, I remember looking at the website, and I really wasn't sure, because again, I've seen images and toys and collectibles that have attempted to, I guess, administer some sort of reverence, but have usually just come up short.
Mm-hmm. And
so, but with your website, I really had a hard time figuring out, was this genuine or was this just meant to be
mm-hmm.
something? Again, just sort of a, let's plaster
a
religious face on mm-hmm. on a line of collectibles. And so,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting to hear you talk. And I guess again, Mike, I know that you say in conversation you can sort of challenge people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you think this is blasphemous, or why do you find this offensive? But I guess
mm-hmm.
not everyone you're going to talk with is going to have a personal conversation with you. So how
True.
Can you, or what are ways maybe you're doing either on your website or just in the packaging of the toy or the collectible, excuse me? Not that you can't live your life, you're going to offend somebody sometime. But
of
I mean,
course.
How are you, I guess, going to make sure that your message does get across without it, without you... again, offending a larger audience, I guess.
Well, to answer that, we are in the process of revamping and adding some additional elements to our website, as well as some other, I hate to use the term marketing, but there needs to be a certain market approach to how we release this.
Sure.
And that's something that I've been very, very sensitive about, because I didn't want it to be really splashy ads. I didn't want it to have some real catchy tagline. I really designed these with the idea of them having personal relevance for whoever buys them or for whomever they are purchased for. We designed these for someone to interpret where we're going with this. And now that we have them out and they're coming to the retail store near you, we're going to start putting together both a public relations campaign as well as a marketing effort that will give individuals a better understanding of what we represent. We will basically be adding some context both to the website, to some of the online initiatives that we have set up that will fully flesh out our intention. I was afraid that if I put too much emphasis, I'll be honest with you, one of the things with my faith that as a younger man I didn't appreciate, but now I see how our faith has moved and I do appreciate, was that I didn't ever feel like the faith spoke for me. It was very traditional. It was very stoic. It was my father's church or my mother's church or my grandmother's church or my aunt's church. But and even if you went to Sunday school, it really wasn't something for me.
So this, in a sense, kind of personalizes it for you in a way?
Absolutely. Baby boomers, which were the previous generation, they kept everything separate. Here's my job over here. Here's my family over here. Here are my hobbies over here. And here's my faith. All four of these boxes I keep separate. But if you look at our generation, whether it's Generation X or Y or the MySpace generation or the YouTube generation, we like to combine all of that so that our faith and our family and our hobbies are expressed in everything that we do. We want the ability to customize our cars and customize our website so they are better reflections of who we are. And I think that our line of collectibles really fits with that new paradigm, that my faith does not have to be something that I only appreciate and attend to on Sunday morning. It can be a part of my life all the time. It can be a part of my I can be praising God and worshiping Him while I'm riding my Harley out in South Dakota. I can use these things that inspire me as ways to praise Him. And that's really where we're trying to do with this line of collectibles.
Well, Eric, as far as the retailer aspect of the line, where are you planning, or where can we expect to see these collectibles as far as if we wanted to pick them up outside of the website, let's say?
Right now they are in a handful of Christian bookstores, new Christian bookstores. Probably the best place to find them, if not on our website, is at Amazon.com right now. Okay. But again, our website, www.wearefishermen.com, is probably the best way to purchase them if you want to get your hands on one right now. But we will, again, we're working with some individuals that are going to help us get into the retail marketplace. And unfortunately, it's a bit challenging for us because we have a product that kind of falls between a couple different traditional retail sectors. I mean, it's Christian, but it's not something that you would traditionally find in a Christian bookstore. It's a collectible, but it's not necessarily a collectible that's a licensed product. You know what I mean?
Right. Eric, as we approach the end here, as we wrap up, let's talk about, on the back of your press card that you sent us here, you have two more I Am Courage, which Jesus looking like a firefighter there.
Correct.
And I Am Invincible, Jesus in a looks like a crashed up car, and he is emerging from that car.
Stock car, correct.
What's when can we expect Street on these?
We can expect Street on those probably around mid-November for those two.
Okay.
The other, basically, right now, if you went to our website, I Am Freedom, which is Jesus as a biker. I Am Victory, which is Jesus as a soccer player. I Am Spirit, which is Jesus as a surfer. And I Am Peace, which is Jesus as a soldier, are all available on our website right now.
Oh, great.
The other five, which are I Am Faith, Jesus as a quarterback. I Am Life, with Jesus as a rock climber. I Am Strength, Jesus as a bull rider. I Am Hope, Jesus as a homeless person. And I Am Youth, which is Jesus as a skateboarder, will be available right around the end of October. And the last two figurines, I Am Courage, which is Jesus as a firefighter, and I Am Invincible, which is Jesus as a stock car driver, will be available very soon after that. Big Kev, I appreciate, meeting you in New York.
We met at Toy Fair.
We met at Toy Fair, and you following up with me and, giving me an opportunity to share what our brand and what our figurines are all about. And I really appreciate you also, Brother Billy, with asking the challenging questions that a lot of other believers are wondering about when they see these figurines.
Yeah, no, it's nice to be able to talk to somebody. You never really can talk about motive and expectations with people and toys, and so this has been a real treat for me as well. So thank you.
All right. OG, I didn't really hear much from you.
OG talked about OG talked about the marketing and when they're going to hit.
Oh, okay. So. Thank you, OG.
No problem. I'm the where to find them guy.
That's right. Check it out. Wearefishermen.com. Eric Dyson, thanks so much for being on the show with us this evening.
Big Kev, OG, Brother Billy, thanks you guys. Take care. God bless you.
Take care.
Thank you. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Another spot. I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
Ew, ew, ew. Pew, 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 pew. You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com.
Is that the URL?
Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL, the phone number.
The phone number?
Yeah.
973. What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking page up!
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial?
Well, what if they want to fax
their
order?
You're insulting them! They're a sponsor of the show! You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated!
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least. What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this. Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I going to make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba that's...
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
And we are back.
We are back.
We want to thank Eric Dyson from WeAreFishermen.com for being with us on that last segment, talking about his these Jesus figurines.
A nice, nice man.
Billy, do you got a brother Billy? Couple of words to wrap up the segment on We Are Fishermen.
No, I thought it was very good. I actually appreciate what Eric had to say. As I said to him, you never really get to hear the inspiration for some of these things. And, you know, I don't know too much about the collectible and toy world outside of the religious themed toys and what sort of things inspire them. But for me, that was interesting to hear the inspiration for these. And I think it goes beyond what you can find even on the website or on just the box. So,
right. Yeah, they're interesting. And Eric presents them very well. I hope he does well with them. In sales, and we'll be talking about some more of them when they come out. The two that we mentioned at the end of the segment there.
Sure,
but going beyond that, what else did we talk about in episode 71, Horse with No Name?
Oh, come on!
What's wrong?
The gang's all here.
The gang's all here.
It's the first time me, you, and Fantastic are in the studio together in like a month.
All right. Then episode 72. Horse with No Name.
Horse with No Name. Okay, fine.
I just wanted to name an episode Horse with No Name so I could use that song by America, Horse with No Name.
Oh, right. Right, well, I'm gonna make a little different than normal. I'm making a correction to the first segment. I'm not even waking you for next week.
Okay, go ahead.
We had some discrepancy in something that was reported. Uhura is not playing Micah's grandmother. She is playing his great aunt and the grandmother to one of the new heroes that will appear in season two of the show.
Ah, someone's cousin.
Yes. So there you go.
We started off by talking about some recent releases on DVD. What were those, Matt?
We started off by talking about South Park Season 10, now out on DVD. It has that ever-popular World of Warcraft episode that we love so dear. We also talked about House Season 3 out on DVD this week, Dexter Season 1, and naturally Serenity, the two-disc collector's edition.
Nothing, go on.
I was going to say, don't forget that we have the Serenity contest going on online right now, so you should check that out on the website so you can win your very own copy of the two-disc collector's edition if you don't have one already.
Oh, is that what we're giving away?
That is what we're giving away.
I thought we were giving away the...
Firefly?
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Are you happy?
Three and out.
That's three. Are we okay now?
She is so hot in person, by the way.
We can end the show.
Just saying, she's hot.
Thanks. Ed Norton is apparently going to be writing for the Hulk movie, not just starring in the Hulk movie.
Isn't he
and
dead?
There will be a cameo by Lou Ferrigno.
Peanuts, the complete series of Peanuts anthologies, 1965 to 1966, came out from Fantagraphic Books. $28.95 is the price. Hardcover, good for your collection.
Ava Mendez and Scarlett Johansson joining the cast of Spirit the Movie.
You are still going to say Jackson Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson along with Sam Jackson and Gabriel Mocht in the role of the Spirit.
You're just not going to get over that, are you?
Sorry.
Mouse Guard, Winter 1152, Issue 1 from Archaia Studios Press. Our friends at aspcomics.com. And our good friend David Peterson. This is Series 2 in the Mouse Guard saga. Check it out at a local store near you.
WatchmenMovie.WarnerBrothers.com, the useless website of the week.
And the useless product coming out, the Youngblood, some sort of collection or trade, which will lead into the return of Youngblood in 2008 by your friend and no one else's, Rob Liefeld, and Image Comics.
Marvel is developing a live-action Doctor Strange movie right on the coattails, I guess, of the animated feature that came out last week.
In a further attempt to utterly destroy the character of Spider-Man, J. Michael Straczynski and Joe Quesada present One More Day, Spider-Man's story arc beginning in Amazing 544, and all they will say is that it's an end of an era.
October 23rd, release of the either Volume 1 or 12-disc set, Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Some sort of Young Indiana Jones right. DVD.
Right.
P. Craig Russell working on a pair of Neil Gaiman projects. The novella Sandman the Dream Hunters, which was originally illustrated by Yoshitaka Amano. Is going to be produced as a full-out graphic novel, as well as his adaptation of Coraline.
Michael Bay, despite what you may or may not have heard, may be doing the Transformers sequel. That's all I'm saying. I don't think we really talked about it in the first part of the show. But
I don't think we did
either.
I'm
throwing it out there now anyway.
I think
read up on it. We'll talk about it next week.
Awful idea.
I think. Why is it an awful idea?
Because I don't like the first one.
Good and successful. You slept
like
through
it.
The first one.
I did not.
You sleep through that all movies.
That is a fabrication.
We're charging your name to Big Sleep.
In the second segment of tonight's show, we talked to Eric Dyson, the head of president, founder, creator of WeAreFishermen.com.
That's right.
And his Jesus figurines, inspirational giftware, I guess is where
collectibles,
we're...
Collectibles.
I still say giftware. Collectibles,
I think,
giftware.
Giftware, I think something you register for. I don't think I'm registering for Skateboarding Jesus. Just saying.
All right. Inspirational collectibles, then. Check those out at wearefishermen.com. And
don't forget to check us out online, BigKevsGeekStuff.com or MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff. If you're listening to us on iTunes, thank you. If not, you can check us out on iTunes by going to the iTunes store and searching for Geek Stuff in the search window.
And leave us a review.
Sure.
We need more reviews
after
on
chastising
iTunes.
Chastising them last week.
And you were pretty angry.
I was pretty angry. I'm allowed to be angry.
You can also check us out. Did you say MySpace?
I did say MySpace.
Oops. I guess you can't check us out there.
This is the part where you want to plug the fact that we have a donate button on the website and you still want an attack as Millennium Falcon in the Death Star hangar playset for the studio.
It's true. I do. I don't see us getting enough money for that.
Neither do I.
There was that other thing. Oh, don't forget, we're giving away the Serenity Special Edition 2 disc. Go there, check it out.
And
fine.
And look for us on XM in the near future.
Yes, hopefully at the end of the second half of September, I think we're saying. And if that works out, we're going to have lots of special guests and surprises and stuff. Is that it?
I think that's it.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Fantastic.
What?
Do you have any final words for episode 71, The Gang's All Here?
No.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. Shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean, she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her. Summer comes. Now that the boys are here again.